Facts allow you to make decisions in unpredictable times. Get the facts you need from the Wall Street Journal. From free coronavirus updates to daily deep dives in our podcasts and videos, WSJ is a trusted source in uncertain times. Visit WSJ.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, June 26th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for the Wall Street Journal. 5G networks are coming, and everybody wants in the game. U.S. officials have been kicking around some ideas to help them get ahead and cut out Chinese telecommunications giant Huawei. Our reporter Drew Fitzgerald says the government may want to booster the private sector to stiffen the competition. He'll tell us all about it after these headlines. Google says it's reached agreements with several publishers around the world to pay them for news content. Our reporter Benjamin Mullen has more.
Google and news organizations for a long time, for years, have been locked in a tug of war. News executives say, hey, our content appears in Google search. We deserve to be paid for that. Google says, well, yeah, your content appears in Google search, but we send you a ton of traffic. And also, we're just indexing the content. It's not like we're licensing it from you. This is a pretty big deal because Google is saying, actually, we are going to license some content from you to show in our news products. And so for that reason, it's kind of a momentous occasion.
We should note that none of the publishers involved are based in the U.S. An executive said that Google is still in talks with news outlets in half a dozen other countries, but declined to specify which ones. In the past few weeks, civil rights activists have called for major advertisers to pull spending from Facebook, saying the social network is not doing enough to combat hate speech. Now we report exclusively that Facebook has been working behind the scenes to contain the damage. Executives have said in emails and calls that they're taking the civil rights groups' complaints seriously, but that they won't be changing their policies because of revenue pressure. And the race to build 5G networks is on. On Thursday, Huawei said it would invest more than $1 billion to build a major new manufacturing facility in the United Kingdom. Japan's top telecommunications company also said on Thursday it's taking a $600 million stake in a leading hardware maker to gain market share against Huawei. And officials in the U.S. have been discussing strategies to keep Huawei in check, too. We'll be talking more about that after the break.
When the world is at a standstill, facts can move us forward. Facts help us make decisions and bring us together even as we're apart. The Wall Street Journal has the facts in these uncertain times. Get the latest on the coronavirus outbreak with free coverage of the crisis and its impact on the economy, politics, culture, and daily life. Find the clarity you need with America's most trusted news source. Visit WSJ.com and stay informed.
We haven't talked about them for a while, but 5G networks are the future. They're supposed to bring better connectivity and faster download speeds, and everybody wants a leg up in building them. China and the Chinese telecom company Huawei have been leading the pack, but the U.S. government has been trying to head them off at the pass for a while, and we report that now they're considering going to some great lengths to get ahead. Our reporter Drew Fitzgerald has been looking into this, and he joins us now to explain. Drew, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so this battle between the U.S. government and Huawei has been going on for some time. Really quick, 30 seconds or less. Can you just remind us how long this has been going on and what the tit-for-tat looks like?
Sure. This has been going on for really more than a decade, ever since it became clear that Huawei, a company that 20 years ago really came out of nowhere, has quickly become the dominant supplier of a lot of key electronics, a lot of equipment for our networks, the bits and pipes that make up the internet and the systems that we use to have our cell phones connect to the web. There's been a lot of anxiety, especially in Washington, over the amount of success that Chinese suppliers, especially Huawei, have had around the world. And there are national security officials who have said that they see it as a national security threat for Huawei to be so dominant in some of these key parts of every country's national infrastructure.
And they've been doing a lot here already to try to kind of head Huawei off at the pass. What's been going on already and what new ideas are they floating?
Sure. So there are a couple parallel tracks going on. One is the efforts that the U.S. has taken, U.S. officials have taken to try to make it hard for Huawei to do business around the world. Things like sanctions and prohibitions on companies that can do business with both Huawei and ZTE. The separate issue that's a little trickier that people in the administration have been discussing is ways to basically shore up the competition, give a boost to Huawei's rivals. There are a few different ideas floating out there. Coincidentally, some of the biggest suppliers of cell tower equipment, that's the boxes that goes on top of every cell tower that you see when you're driving down the highway, happen to be in Europe. Nokia and Ericsson are based in Finland and Sweden, respectively. And Samsung is also in the mix out of South Korea. There's, again, a sense of worry in some circles in the U.S. that there's no longer a dominant supplier of this type of equipment that's based in the U.S. So one of the ideas that's been discussed is to support plans that would basically open up competition and make it easier for companies, not necessarily manufacturers, but companies that supply some of the software, the brains and know-how behind this type of equipment to do business around the world.
So let's go back to those suppliers that you talked about, Ericsson, Nokia, Samsung. Haven't European countries already said that they're planning to work with Huawei and not with Ericsson, Nokia, and Samsung?
That's true. Much to the chagrin of a lot of national security hawks in the U.S., there are countries all over the world, including some of the biggest economies in Europe, where cell phone companies have said, you know what, we like what Huawei is selling, and we're going to go with their equipment. That's been especially true in Germany, as well as, to a certain extent, carriers in the U.K. Now, people in the White House will point to some recent successes of these European suppliers, especially in the past few weeks. There have been big deals that cell phone companies have signed with the Europeans and with Samsung in Canada, Spain, in the UK, Singapore just happened. Those are a lot of successes that the European suppliers and Western suppliers can tick off their list, but that hasn't lessened the sense of urgency among some in the White House and in the administration to keep pushing this campaign to give other cell phone companies, other countries, more options outside of China.
Why is this such a big deal? Why is the U.S. so motivated to take such an active approach in shutting this one company out?
Yeah, there are a couple of reasons, and it all goes back to really the sense of mistrust and soured relations that have developed between the governments of the U.S. and China over the past few years, and especially in the past few months. That extends to these communications networks. Again, one underlying reason is there are people in the U.S. who worry that basically if all of this equipment is made in China and the Chinese government asks some of the companies that make the equipment to spy on their behalf for their intelligence services or just disrupt those networks, that they'll be forced to comply. And that's something that Huawei has denied it would do, but it's a worry in the U.S. But the bigger issue really goes back to a kind of developing Cold War between these two countries. That's the fight over what types of companies are going to be in control of the newest technology in the coming decades. Beyond a buzzword, 5G is really about less expensive and really more nimble networks that will make connections to the internet very cheap and common, not just for cell phones, but for all types of gadgets. And the worry is apps, these incredibly valuable companies that have grown up around 4G cell technology. You know, these are companies like Uber and Airbnb and all of these apps that have gone from nothing to multi-billion dollar companies, that next generation that's built on top of 5G will be either using technology that was developed and produced in China or made somewhere else.
So let's go back to something you said earlier. You said that U.S. officials really want to support startups that are working on this technology here in the U.S. What are they doing to do that? What are they proposing?
Well, there are a couple camps within the administration, as there are on many issues. One group has been floating and discussing the idea of a really aggressive effort to shore up the existing suppliers in Europe, investing in possibly either Nokia or Ericsson. Now, we spoke to the National Economic Council director, Larry Kudlow, who said that that sort of discussion has cooled and that there's less talk of that recently, even though there were talks, as we reported, both last year and in certain circles on the Hill and in the White House over the winter. A second camp has suggested that the way to go about this is really to open up the ecosystem and lower the barriers of entry for new companies and startups to make their own technology. And that could be the opening that many U.S. companies need to start selling their software that runs on really cheap, easy to access equipment.
But what about the hardware? I mean, isn't that a big part of this as well, that Huawei is actually developing the networks?
That's the fear around the world, both in the U.S., where there's legislation to rip that Huawei hardware out of some of the smaller rural internet companies that are found across the U.S. That could cost $1 to $2 billion, the industry estimates, but it's not funded. So those companies are asking the U.S. government for federal funding to pay for that replacement because they don't want to rip out practically brand spanking new equipment from their networks without being compensated. And that's something that's being discussed on Capitol Hill right now. And those same concerns are concerns that American policymakers have around the world. The reason that they're so determined to try to head off Huawei is because as this 5G technology is placed on towers and in data centers, that hardware itself is going to be sitting there for the next 10 to 20 years, possibly. For 5G and then 6G, it could be upgraded just using software.
So let's talk about how Huawei is responding to all this. Have they been able to move forward despite all the pushback from the U.S. government?
Yes and no. Huawei has been contending with a bunch of different policy changes on all sides. On the side that involves sanctions or prohibitions designed to kind of constrain its growth around the world, they've responded with lawsuits over intellectual property and with diplomacy, arguing that they should be treated like any other global supplier of high-tech gear. On the other hand, Huawei isn't going anywhere anytime soon. It still has a large presence in networks on every continent around the world, and it's using the relationships that it's built up over the past few years to continue selling its equipment and playing in this market.
Our reporter, Drew Fitzgerald, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be following all the latest developments with Huawei and other tech stories. You can find more on our website, wsj.com. And that was your Tech News Briefing. We're produced by Amanda Llewellyn. Production assistance this week came from our intern, Nora Eckert. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.